of life is a choice. And we can choose how we live and the thoughts that we allow and the attitude with which we walk through life. We cannot often choose the circumstances. Sometimes we have choices in the circumstances. Sometimes we have made those circumstances for ourselves. But even in that, we can choose our attitude in walking through the circumstances. And giving thanks changes your attitude, but it may take some time. If you put up the first PowerPoint, being thankful causes you to look upward instead of downward. It causes you to look upward in gratefulness at the God who will change you, who will help you, who will strengthen you to have the right attitude, to see what he can accomplish in your situation, to see who he is in the midst of your situation. Looking downward at the circumstances, or as I've said before, continually looking inward at who you are and what you've done and how weak you are and how unable you are and all of these things inward, that will cause us most of the time to go into self-pity, which doesn't help. I promise you, it feels in the flesh like it will in the moment, like this is the only option, but it doesn't help us. And the reality is, giving thanks is helpful for us. It changes our attitude. It changes our perspective. We might still have emotions because of what's going on. Let's be honest. The truth is, even when I am choosing to be thankful, sometimes there are still tears falling down my face because of the situation that I'm facing. And sometimes we praise God through the tears in the midst of the storm. And we say to God, God, you are good. I don't understand. I don't even like or agree with this situation, but I say that you are good because I know that you are. And he is faithful. Psalm 42:3-5. David wrote this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. So he is remembering, this is what I used to feel like. This is because most of the time in our moments of sadness, we can still remember the good times. We can sometimes those, if we focus too much and all things used to be so good, they're never going to be that way again. I'm always going to be in this valley. I'm always going to struggle through this season. And that's the lie of the enemy. But he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. So this is Psalm 42:4. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. But then he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hope in God. We have to continually choose to put our hope in God, because if we will praise him, which is also translated in other places, give thanks. If we will give thanks, it says, for the help of his countenance. Looking at Jesus changes us. It changes us. And that's why it's so vital in the moments when, even when we don't feel God, when we don't feel, you know, holy, when we're, you know, consumed with the circumstances or with ourselves, that we look at Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I love this scripture, and God really made this scripture real to me, because I was going through something and I kept wanting to look at the circumstances, and God kept saying, just look at me, Shannon, just look at me. And he gave me this verse and Hebrews 12:2 that says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And it was like, through that, he told me, this is biblical, just to look at Jesus, to focus on him. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look at Jesus, as we are in the presence of Almighty God, we are changed to become more like him. And that's a spiritual thing that happens. It doesn't mean, obviously, that we change physically. We change on the inside because our spirit is renewed. And that's why when you are down, when you're frustrated, when you're struggling and you can't see the way out or the way up, Put on some praise and worship music and focus your attention on God. Do not just praise or thank God when you feel like it or when you feel worthy. We don't praise him because we're worthy. We praise him because he is worthy. So I will put on some praise and worship and just focus my attention on God and remember who he is. It changes us. Number two, giving thanks is a choice. We have to remember that we have a choice because often we forget that. In the moment, when you get up and you're just in a funk, sometimes you know why you're in a funk. Maybe you're just going through some things in your life. Maybe you've had a hard week. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're stressed out. Maybe there's a lot going on in your family or at work or in your body physically, whatever it is. And you just feel, man, I'm just in a funk. And you just want to spend the entire day in that funk because let's be honest, that is the most comfortable place. It's a whole lot easier on the flesh to just sit in the funk and spread the funk to everybody that we're around. You know, here is some of my funk that I am feeling today. You know, I was having a conversation with one of my children and just telling them, we cannot live like that because the truth is we don't help anybody else. We have to go, you know what? The Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe that's why it says I will, because it is a choice. And that is renewing our mind. As Christians, we have to renew our minds. We went through this a couple of years ago, like all the time. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we discussed that renewing means renovation. When you renovate in your house, you put new things in, you take old things out. You don't put the new things in on top of the old things. If when our house flooded, if we had just left the wetness, all of the wet flooring and all of the wet sheetrock and just put stuff on top of it, we would have had mold in our house. You can't do that. You have to take the old out and replace it with the new. That's what we do as Christians continually. As we read the Bible, we go, the old goes and the new comes in. Romans 8 verses 5 through 9 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be focused on fleshly things, how I feel, what I see, what people have done to me, how annoying this situation is death. But to be spiritually minded, to focus on God, to focus on who he is, to renew my mind to the truth of the word is life and peace. But we have a choice. We have to continually tell ourselves, I have a choice today. I do not have to live based on my circumstances. I do not have to live based on my feelings. I do not have to base my life on what I see in front of me. I have to live according to the truth of the word. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And we're going to stop at that point in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. When we get saved, the Spirit of God indwells us. But we still have to renew our mind. We still have a choice as to whether or not, as a Christian, I live by my feelings or by the truth. Continually, it's a choice that I make. And still, I've known this my entire life. And some days I still have to talk to myself and go, Shannon, get over yourself. I do not have to live in this funk just because I feel like it. You know, I don't have to complain because of what's going on in my body right now, or because of how tired I am, or because I'm out of breath, or, you know, because of whatever it is and whatever circumstance I find myself. We can choose. And I know because I have to make that choice often. Renewing our minds means a renovation of our thoughts. As I said, when we realize we're thinking complaining or ungrateful thoughts, we have a choice. We can continue to live how we feel, or we can learn to put a verse in front of us and live by it and go, I will live by this verse. One of the greatest things that will bring change in your life as a Christian, and this is very simple sounding, but if you will really and truly begin to believe what God says about you more than what you believe about what anybody else has said, the lies that you feel within yourself, it will change the way that you live. Because even as a Christian being raised in a Christian home, if I lived solely by what I thought I could accomplish and by the type of person that I thought I could be, I would never have been able to accomplish the things that God is calling me to do. Because we have to be willing to step into what God says about us. And he sees who we really are. That's what we have to realize, is that he sees who we are called to be. Beyond just who we are. He is like the person who's a sculptor and looks at a piece of wood and goes, that is not just a piece of wood. That is going to be a beautiful candlestick holder, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm not a woodworker, so, you know, I can't see it. But whatever, that is our God. He is the potter, the Bible says, and we are the clay. But we have to submit ourselves to him to work in us. So it's a choice. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Y'all are going to love this verse. You probably know it, some of you already. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Without murmuring and complaining, disclaiming and disputing, however you want to say it. That's another one of those words. God is not afraid of the all or nothing words. You know, like me, we've said lots of times, me and Rick used to have conversations about that as an early married couple, because he would say, you always. And I would say, I do not always. And he would say, well, when I say always, I don't mean every time. And I would go, that's what always means, you know. But God doesn't do that. When he says in all things, he means in all things. When he says we don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything to present it in prayer and supplication. When it says do all things without murmuring or complaining, it's very simple. It means that there is no place for complaining in our lives as Christians. It's hard truth. But God will give us strength to do that. Now, notice why this is powerful. Verse 15 says, that you may become blameless and harmless. You know why? Because the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. So much of the circumstances we create are created by the words that come out of our mouth. We can make a situation better or worse based on what we say. And often we just say what we feel and we just complain and we just, you know, and we are making the situation worse by the words that we speak. But if we will choose to speak life, we speak life into those situations, into the people around us, all of us have experienced this. If you're in a tough situation and everybody's just, it just makes you more miserable. You know, and initially that first person that's trying to look at the bright side, you just kind of want to go, oh, come on. You know, come on, just jump in the mud puddle with us. You know, we're all having fun here. You know, but the reality is when you start looking, okay, there is a reason. There is something that we can be thankful for in this situation. It is a powerful thing. It says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We can shine as lights in the world. Now, I want to read you a story. Some of you might be somewhat familiar with this, but the book, The Hiding Place, was written by Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were placed in a concentration camp because they were hiding Jews in their home. They had built a room into their house, and they were hiding Jews, and they got caught. And so her and her sister were not Jewish. They were Dutch, but they got sent to a concentration camp because of them hiding. And so they had gotten moved to a new concentration camp. And this is Corey speaking. She said, suddenly I sat up, striking my head on the cross slats above. Something had pinched my leg. Fleas, I cried, Betsy. This place is swarming with them. Here and here, another one, I wailed. Betsy, how can we live in such a place? Show us how. It was said so matter-of-factly that it took me a second to realize she was praying. More and more, the distinction between prayer and the rest of life seemed to be vanishing for Betsy. Corey, she said excitedly, he's given us the answer. Before we asked, as he always does. In the Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again. I glanced down the long, dim aisle to make sure no guard was in sight, then drew the Bible from its pouch. It was in 1 Thessalonians, I said. We were on our third complete reading of the New Testament since leaving the other concentration camp. In the feeble light, I turned the pages. Here it is. Comfort the frightened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. It seemed written expressly to Ravensbrück. Go on, said Betsy. That wasn't all. Oh, yes. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corey. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her. Then around me at the dark, foul-aired room. Such as, I said, such as being assigned here together. I bit my lip. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Such as what you are holding in your hands. I looked down at the Bible. Yes, thank you, dear Lord, that there was no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all these women here in this room who will meet you in these pages. Yes, said Betsy. Thank you for the very crowding here, since we're packed so close that many more will hear. She looked at me expectantly. Corey, she prodded. Oh, all right. Thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds. Thank you, Betsy went on serenely, for the fleas and for the fleas. This was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are a part of this place where God has put us. And so we stood between tiers of bunks and gave thanks for fleas. But this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. Back at the barracks, we formed yet another line. Would there never be an end to columns and waits to receive our ladle of turnip soup in the center room? Then quickly as we could, for the press of people, Betsy and I made our way to the rear of the dormitory room where we held our worship service. Around our own platform area, there was not enough light to read the Bible. But back here, a small light bulb cast a wan yellow circle on the wall. And here, an ever larger group of women gathered. They were services like no other, these times in Barracks 28. At first, Betsy and I called these meetings with great timidity. But as night after night went by and no guard ever came near us, we grew bolder. So many now wanted to join us that we held a second service after evening roll call. There on the Lagerstrasse, we were under rigid surveillance, guards in their warm wool capes marching constantly up and down. It was the same in the center room of the barracks, half a dozen guards or camp police always present. Yet in the large dormitory room, there was almost no supervision at all. We did not understand it. One evening, I got back to the barracks late from a wood gathering foray outside the walls. A light snow lay on the ground, and it was hard to find the sticks and twigs with which a small stove was kept going in each room. Betsy was waiting for me as always so that we could wait through the food line together. Her eyes were twinkling. You're looking extraordinarily pleased with yourself, I told her. You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room, she said. Well, I've found out. That afternoon, she said, there'd been confusion in her knitting group about sock sizes, and they'd asked the supervisor to come and settle it, but she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door, and neither would the guards. And you know why? Betsy could not keep the triumph from her voice. Because of the fleas, that's what she said. That place is crawling with fleas. My mind rushed back to our first hour in this place. I remembered Betsy's bowed head, remembered her thanks to God for creatures I could see no use for. So I'm going to read you another short excerpt in a little bit. But giving thanks for fleas, that's so hard, you know, for us even to understand. But when we begin to really understand that God is with us, that he is working through our circumstances, when we remember that he is working and interceding, look in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is a verse that I started with that my mom quoted to my dad. In Romans 8, 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You know, God places people into our lives because he knows the weaknesses and strengths that we have. I believe that God spoke through my mom that day to my dad, but many times he spoke through him to her. You know, me and my sister have had multiple conversations, and me and Rick and other people that have spoken into my life. And sometimes maybe I've been the one giving, you know, encouragement and let's look at the bright side and let's praise God in this circumstances. But other times I've been challenged. God places people in the body of Christ and in our lives to help us see him when we're having a hard time seeing him. Sometimes it might just come through a preaching that we hear on television or a word that's spoken or something, a verse that we read. But if we will keep our ears open, he will speak to us. He will remind us that he is there, that he is faithful. We need to remember that he is working and interceding. This verse says, we know that all things work together for good. For those who love God, to those are the called according to his purpose. There is a purpose that he has that is beyond what we can see for ourselves. And we do best when we look at him to find the purpose that he has called us to. But look at the verses before that. In verse 26 and 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here we see the work of the Holy Spirit. Me and my mom were talking about this today. I believe sometimes this is tongues when we pray in tongues. Other times we were talking about how you are so burdened that you can't even speak words. Like it's just sounds coming. The same as you can look at somebody that you know and love and just a sigh speaks volumes and you know, or just a look. How would we think that our God cannot determine what we're feeling and what we're saying through those groans, through those sighs? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. This says, and then notice verse 28. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. I believe this he, notice it is capitalized. This he, I believe, is talking about Jesus. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And this says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. In Hebrews 7:25, it's talking about Jesus again. And he says, therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost, which means save entirely, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Romans 8, also verse 34 says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So before we have the verse that God, we know that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We have that the Holy Spirit is interceding through us and making intercession for us. And that Jesus is making intercession because he knows what the heart of the Spirit is and what the will of the Father is, what the will of God is. So that is what we have working in our favor. Those are who we have working in our favor to cause all things to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But it is vital that we learn to look at the spiritual instead of just the physical, because I promise you that truth will get lost in the circumstances of daily life. I want to read you one more little excerpt, and then we're going to watch a 2-minute video and we'll close up. This is from Corrie Ten Boom's book also. She said, but as the rest of the world grew stranger, one thing became increasingly clear, and that was the reason the two of us were here. Why others should suffer, we were not shown. As for us, from morning until lights out, whenever we were not in ranks or for roll call, our Bible was the center of an ever-widening circle of health and hope. They also had vitamin drops that they would give out. And it was like the woman, some of the miracles that you hear in the Old Testament and New Testament. They would give a drop of vitamins to more and more and more and more women. And the bottle just kept going. I mean, it just kept being, there just kept being more in the bottle. So even as they were doing that physically, they were doing that spiritually with the word. It says, like waifs clustering around a blazing fire, we gathered about it, the word, holding out our hearts to its warmth and light. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I would look about us as Betsy read, watching the light leap from face to face. More than conquerors. It was not a wish. It was a fact. We knew it, we experienced it minute by minute. Poor, hated, hungry. We are more than conquerors. Not we shall be, we are. Life in Ravensbrück took place on two separate levels, mutually impossible. One, the observable external life, grew every day more horrible. The other, the life we live with God, grew daily better. Truth upon truth, glory upon glory. Sometimes I would slip the Bible from its little sack with hands that shook. So mysterious had it become to me. It was new. It had just been written. I marveled sometimes that the ink was dry. I had read 1,000 times the story of Jesus' arrest, how soldiers had slapped him, laughed at him, flogged him. Now such happenings had faces and voices. The truth is, in our world today, there will always be people that say, how can you serve a God that allows evil to happen in the world? And if you haven't been asked that question, you will probably, or you will wonder it yourself. It's hard. I don't have all the answers to the suffering that we go through. I do know this, God never promised us a world without suffering. But I also know that Corey and Betsy, yes, they lived those years in Ravensbrück, and it was terrible on the flesh. But their spirit was being renewed day by day. And they lived, Corey Ten Boom lived a lifetime after that of the blessings of God. She's the one that I quoted a couple of Sunday nights ago when all of you, all these sweet people said all these wonderful things about us. And she was the one that said, whenever people say wonderful things about me, she said, I just receive them like flowers. And then I take the bouquet at the end of the day and I present it to God. She had a lifetime of wonderful blessings. And the danger is, when we go through suffering, the devil tells us it will always be like this. You will always struggle. You will always, and he closes our eyes to the blessings and to the wonder and to the things that God is doing, even in the midst of suffering. So that all we see is the hurt and the questions and the doubt and the fear. But as Christians, we have to choose not to stay there. And Corey and Betsy did. Over and over they chose. And they said that light shined in the midst of Ravensbrück. I mean, a terrible place. But just like this says, if we do all things without murmuring and complaining, we shine as lights in a crooked generation. We live in a crooked generation. We live where people kill other people and they do terrible things to each other. And that happens because God has given us a free will. And I tell people, we want God to give me my free will to make my own choices. But we don't want God to give free will to other people to make their own choices because of the terrible things that happen because of those choices. God has given us free will. And our bad choices affect each other. But as Christians, we don't have to live just with the effects only of those bad choices. We get to live with allowing God to work all things together for good, for those that love him. And some of those questions will not maybe be answered until we stand before God. But I promise you, it is worth it. And Betsy and Corey Ten Boom found that to be true in the midst of a concentration camp, so much that Betsy, in the middle of it, all she could say is, if only you could know him. Because I promise you, when you go through hard times and you dig your heels in and determine to seek God and know Him, He becomes more real. And you come out of the midst of that and say, God, you are worth it. And you are faithful. And you are working. So do not allow the enemy to steal your purpose, to steal what God is doing. I want to end with this last verse. 2 Corinthians 4, 14 through 16 says, no, 16 through 18, I'm sorry. And this was Paul speaking. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Corey and Betsy lived that. They lived it. And so did Paul. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's why as Christians, we have to learn to focus on the spiritual and not just the physical. And every time we do that, we grow and we become more like Christ and we can see more of His work being accomplished. So I just want to close this in prayer and pray for us that we will see what God is doing. Remember that in the midst of these things that we have an almighty God that is praying with us, that cares about the feeling. The Bible says that Jesus is touched by the feelings of our weaknesses, of our infirmities, of our struggles. He cares about what we're going through. So much that He came and walked it out. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth, God. Thank you that even in the midst of trying circumstances, that God, you are faithful. And if we will learn and allow you to give us the strength to give thanks in everything, that God, we can see that it is your will, that we can see how you are working those things, God, for our ultimate good. Lord, calls us to keep our eyes focused on you, not on our own feelings or our own circumstances, but on who you are, and allow our mind to be renewed by the truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.